Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw. Oh, you know what? We've got so much going on in the world. We've got Mark Rolfing coming up in just a couple of seconds. But first off, I thought, you know, if you're going to go out and play a round of golf, you should know what the weather's going to be like. And today, it's another one of those breezy days. Where are the gentle trade winds? They're coming. It's going to be mostly cloudy, though, today. Isolated showers, high between 79 and 86, and the winds are out of the northeast. 20 to 25 miles per hour. Remember that when you're hitting that ball. And the chance of rain, about 20%, gets just about 20% overnight as well. And then on Sunday, expect cloudy skies, breezy conditions continue, scattered showers in the morning, isolated showers in the afternoon. But there is overnight, when the northeasterlies are blowing 20 to 25, a chance of rain about 40%. So we're going to get some water on the ground and make everything nice and green when you go to the course. And speaking of going to the course, Volcano Golf Club has an 832, 924, 1048. The Flea Flickers are on the course at Makalei, and there's an 842, a 956, and a 1052. Kauai Girls, they're at Poipu, and there's an 836, a 908, and a 1020. The Lost Men are on the golf course. That's what they call themselves. I didn't make this up. There's a 9 o'clock, 10-10, 11-18 at Kauai Lagoons. Now we're on Oahu. We've got at Pearl at Kalaauau, an 850, 928, 1018. The Divers on the course. And the Beach Boys are too at Turtle Bay, 840, 936, 11 o'clock. If you'd like to go to Turtle Bay and play, it's a beautiful course. All of these are beautiful courses. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 830, 930, 1006. Eva Beach Golf Course, 848, 906, 1030. Then we've got at Bayview, 852, 1008, 1136. It's a shorter course, but it's really nice. And on Maui, Wailea, Gold, 840, Emerald, 902, Blue Course, 1008. And at Maui Nui, there is an 850. We'll be back with Mark Rolfing right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club, brought to you by Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does appliance repairs, maintenance, and sales. The Newtown Driving Range, warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your kids to play golf. The game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips in Evilay next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, Maui. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring Mark Rolfing into the clubhouse. He's at the Connecticut Golf Channel Studios, and he's in for Golf Central all week long. He's a Golf Channel, NBC Sports, golf commentator, analyst. You know him. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Yeah, I'm going to be on Golf Central Live here in Connecticut tonight, but I needed to warm up with you.
Right on. You know, speaking of warming up, my goodness, I was not ready for two number ones in the world to miss a cut. This was like a Scottie Scheffler. You know, it was just bizarre. Can you kind of give us an idea of what you think happened when Scottie lost his game?
Well, if you take a look at both Nelly Korda and Scottie Scheffler missing the cut, the two number one players, that hasn't happened since 2006. So that's been, 23 years now since that happened. I'll tell you what happened with Scheffler. He had made 78 cuts in a row, and not all those were actually 72-hole tournaments with cuts. There were some signature events where there was no cut. Now, Tiger's no-cut streak included a number of events like that also, so that's not unusual. But Scotty's iron play has really been his downfall this last couple of days. He was absolutely terrible with the irons. He finished 137th in the strokes gained approach. He's lost, I think, over a shot and a half to the field, which is just highly unusual for him. And I did a breakdown last night on Golf Central where I showed kind of where his misses were, and they were everywhere. They were left. They were right. There was a lot of them short. I don't remember missing long very much, but it's something that he has got to straighten out. And he's headed down to England now. From Scotland. He will get there early, which could be a blessing in disguise, Danielle, because he's never seen Royal Birkdale.
Oh, wow.
So it'll give him a little extra time there, and maybe he can regroup.
Wow. You know, now, does he travel with someone who gives him advice, checks out his swing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure his wife, Meredith, gives him more advice than anybody, but you know, Scotty Scheffler is a guy that lives his life his way. He's a very convicted Christian. He spends a lot of time with his family. And, you know, he is not the same kind of player that you see the modern-day young players that are totally consumed with golf. It's really important to Scotty. He loves winning big championships. He's clearly the best player in the world, but he also has a totally separate life away from the golf course that really doesn't involve golf at all.
Wow, well, and that's healthy. I mean, it's good to get away and go back. But I just find it confounding that the number one player in the world is having such a hard time with the irons, and the irons are usually, you know, a golfer who doesn't get to, you know, say that they're number one in the world, and that's most of us. Irons kind of save you most of the time on the course, and they seem to be really hurting him. And here's a quote: I got off to a tough start, and back nine just felt like I wasn't hitting it close enough to give myself enough opportunities. I think that's really kind of what it comes down to. I got off to a poor start, and after that I didn't really hit it close enough to give myself a bunch of looks. You know, I didn't really feel like I played that bad. This golf course can be just tough at times. You know, there are some humps and mounds. And yeah, I'm trying to think just because it's like, didn't really feel like I played that bad.
Well, you know, I would take a little exception to that because he lost strokes to the rest of the field. He lost strokes off the tee. He lost strokes with his approach shot. And he lost strokes putting. So you take those three areas of the game, those are the three most important, and he was negative on all three of those. Look, he hasn't been getting off to good starts. I think he's played 12 rounds of golf this year where he shot 72 or higher in the first round. And, you know, half of those have been or he's played 12 rounds or 72 or higher total, but more than half of those have been in the opening round of the tournament. So he's been getting too far behind. He hasn't won a tournament now since the American Express all the way back in January. So he's got a way to go. Having said all that, he's the favorite this week. There's no question about it. I think Rory's a pretty close second.
Yeah.
Then you've got Fleetwood and a bunch of other guys, but I would not be surprised at all to see Scheffler come back really strong at Birkdale.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful watching him. He's such a classy guy. And on top of that, there are days or there are weeks that you just don't have your game. And it happens to everybody. But what's funny is when you say the number one player in the world just missed the cut. It's an oxymoron, you know? How does the number one player in the world? Well, we're all human beings. And by the way, back in 2006, as Mark Rolfing said, that was the last time two number one players in the world missed the cut. Annika Sorenstam and Tiger Woods. Okay, so, you know, it happened to Tiger, can happen to everybody. And here we are rolling along and getting into this. There is a lot of contention, it seems, or concern, I'm not sure what it is, with the PGA Tour changing, Mark, you know, the way they're going to do, they're going to have a championship round, a not championship group of guys. What are your thoughts on the way they're going?
you know, it's interesting watching the Scottish Open this week, and that's primarily what I'll be analyzing tonight. It just shows me that you don't necessarily need the PGA Tour 100% to have a really successful stretch of golf. And you've got the Scottish Open and then the Open Championship next week in England, which is going to be two really good weeks. The Scottish Open field is tremendous. It's not the hugest purse at all and not going to be. But what it shows me is that even though we're, you know, creating a whole new level of golf on the PGA Tour, there's going to be a championship series of events, which is about 15 events, and those events are going to have 120 players. There'll be no sponsor exemptions. Nobody will get in those events other than the guys that qualified for it the year before by finishing in the top 90. And also there'll be some other categories of lifetime wins and things like that. But having said that, I truly feel like there's a place in the game and going to be a place in the game for major national championships like the Scottish Open, like the Australian Open, like the Canadian Open. Here's the problem with those events. If they become part of the championship series, let's say the Canadian Open, the week before the U.S. Open, were to become part of the championship series, then none of the Canadian players could play in the Canadian Open. Would that be bad? Yes, yeah. That would be really bad. Okay, let's say it became a Challenger Series event, a second-level event. Would any of the top players be able to play in the Canadian Open? No. That would be bad, too. So you got two bad scenarios there. The only way that I see this whole world golf schedule coming together is to have open weeks the week before the major. So the Canadian Open would be in an open week. It would be not be sanctioned necessarily by the PGA Tour. It okay. could well be a DP World Tour event. But it would be an open week where players could decide if they wanted to play in it or not. That would be the same thing that they're doing with the Scottish Open.
Why all the changes? It seemed to be working really nicely all the way up until now, and then the changes come on. What brought that on?
I think it was LIV Golf more than anything.
Huh.
I think LIV Golf created a false sense of financial security for another group of players that left and made all the big money. And because of that, the PGA Tour felt obligated, and the players that remained on the PGA Tour felt obligated to do whatever they could to try and increase the money on the PGA Tour. So what you saw was a dramatic increase in the purses. If you take a look at what happened at Kapalua, for example, that event went from a purse of under $8 million all the way to $20 million.
Yeah.
And as we saw, it just was not sustainable for a place on a small island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And so my fear now is that, yeah, the championship series will be great if we can have all those events for $20 million. But who's going to sponsor them and where are they going to play? That is still very much to be determined.
All right. Now, we've kind of come to the conclusion that it's not going to be played here in Hawaii. Are they going to be playing in San Diego? Do you have an idea where they're going?
Look, they're trying to go everywhere they can. The problem with San Diego is that tournament is right before the end of January. And at the end of January, all the top events in the Middle East are being played. So if you say, look, we're going to start the season in the last week of January in San Diego, Rory won't be there. He's going to be in Dubai. Tommy Fleetwood will be in Dubai. Tyrrell Hatton will be in Dubai. Shane Lowry will be in Dubai. They're all going to be in Dubai,
yeah.
All the Europeans.
Yeah.
And so, to me, the way we have to look at this thing, I see the biggest opportunity, frankly, Danielle, being in the fall and in the winter. That's after the PGA Tour season ends. And if you look at what has happened, the PGA Tour just gave the Australian Open their own date. It's going to be the first week of December. It's going to be a standalone date. All the top American players will go. Rory McIlroy is already committed to go. Australian Open is going to become a really big event. And you know what is right on the way to Australia from the U.S.? Hawaii is right on the way. And if you think about when we used to play a small field event on the island of Kauai, the Grand Slam, there was only four players in it. Tiger played every year. Phil Mickelson played. They all played. Would there be any scenario where on the way to Australia we could entice four or eight top players to play a big event in Hawaii and get bigger television ratings than a full field PGA Tour event? I think the answer is yes.
I love it. That's a really good idea. A stopover. Everybody needs a little bit of a stopover. And yeah, what better way than to, you know, get loosened up, play some golf here, and then go to Australia? That's wonderful.
Well, if you think about Maui, for example, we have no event on Maui now. I'm devastated. We have no tournament there.
Yeah.
And we're not going to have one on West Maui for years because of the water situation. But could you have a smaller event like Wailea had for years and years? They had champion skins there.
Yeah.
They had a lot of things going on there. And are they, you know, up for doing something again? No question about it. So I could see Wailea as a site for a special event or, you know, maybe Kauai again. Who knows?
Yeah, I love it. I love seeing a little window, you know, something possibly getting us back into it. I wanted to kind of shift gears. I didn't realize that Tiger Woods is like going crazy with golf courses. He opened the El Cardinal and the Oasis Short Court, and now he's unveiling the Legacy Course, and he's got a couple of others going on. Wow, developers are building a dune for privacy for one of the courses. I think it's the Legacy. They're planting 12,000 trees. They're adding large landscaped areas to create a green, peaceful environment. Members of the Legacy Course and the Dunes Course, designed by Davis Love III, Tiger Woods' El Cardinal Course, and the Oasis 12-hole Short Course, all having access to the clubhouses and the practice facilities. This sounds like it's a really private affair. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I don't know what to think because I really don't know what Tiger's thinking now. I have no access to be able to talk to him at this point. I do know that I was tremendously disappointed that he went to a rehab in Switzerland and spent almost 90 days in that rehab. And when he came back, the first thing that he did and that he talked about publicly was not his experience at rehab or not how much better he felt or whatever it is. He talked about Brian Rolapp and the future of, you know, championship series events.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't quite understand that. I hope that Tiger, and you know I've talked about this before, gets his plan together for sort of the rest of his life. If it's going to be play on the Champions Tour, okay, fine. Come on out and play at Sony or come out and play Mitsubishi Electric. Or if he's not going to do that, then I think he ought to concentrate on things that can really change the world and be really good. And are private clubs in the Bahamas and Mexico and places like that going to do that? I don't think so. No. I think he can change the world. I think he can tell his story and help educate kids on what not to do. So I don't know. I'm not in favor of all this private stuff, but that's kind of what he's into right now, and I'll tell you, he does love designing golf courses.
Well, and good for him. You know, give him something really productive to do. I think it's a shame that it cuts us out, you know, but that is what it is, you know, it's a different tiers. Speaking of, I just wanted to go back to Nelly Korda. Nelly Korda is an amazing golfer. She is an amazing person. She just never seems to give it up. She doesn't seem to get frustrated ever. Have you been able to follow her at an event or see her in play? I haven't.
Oh, I have. I've seen her in play. What I can't figure out is what happens to her when she gets to this golf course in France, Evian, where they played this week. I can tell you this: she doesn't like it.
Oh,
she thinks it's a course where there's a lot of quirks, a lot of strange bounces. It's built on the side of a mountain. And a lot of times you can hit shots that look like they're going to turn out pretty good, and they turn out bad. At the same time, you can hit bad shots that turn out good. But I'll tell you, her demise this week was unlike Scottie Scheffler, who hit bad iron shots. Nelly couldn't putt. Nelly had 64 putts in two rounds, 34 and 30. That's way too many. You're not going to beat many players with that number of putts.
Wow. I didn't know that number. That's amazing. And Mark Rolfing, thank you so much. You know, so now what we have is England's Lottie Ward. She's leading 11 under going into, well, they're almost done over there, but it's wonderful to follow all these terrific golfers, and through you, I get to see so much more. Thank you very much for being inside the clubhouse.
You got it, Danielle. Take care.
You too. Aloha. We're coming back. Claude Brousseau is with us. He's going to teach us. He's got to. Before you go on the course, have a listen after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You know, it just seems like even though there's a 50% chance of rain, sometimes it doesn't rain at all. And it has stopped raining for the most part. But then again, to help you get through all of this rain that's so deep into our summer season, Aloha Power's After the Rain Sale is featuring Honda generators, pumps, chainsaws, weed whackers, trimmers, and so much more, and it's up to 25% off. You've got to take advantage. We have service and parts and accessories for every rider, from home to commercial-sized. You mow it, you blow it, you bag it, you're done. It's easy. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evilay, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu.
Who do you call when your home appliance isn't working? Pacific Repair Services. Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does repairs, maintenance, and sales. Call us at 808-736-4080 or find us on the web at prscares.com. We fix, maintain, and sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, and dishwashers at fabulous prices. Rely on Pacific Repair Services because your home appliances have to work. What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
John Hagan's going to be with us next week, but he just sent me a note on the topic of Scottie Scheffler. Until this week, he writes, Scheffler had entered and played 78 tournaments in a row without missing a cut. Tiger went 142, which means Scheffler would have had to go at least another 4 years to catch Tiger. Highly unlikely given today's scheduling. Next best of the current players, Fitzpatrick at 28. All right, let's talk to Claude Brousseau about this very interesting game called golf. Claude has been number one ranked teacher in the state of Hawaii from 2019 through 2025 by Golf Digest. He is on the list for for 2026-2027, best teacher in every state by Golf Digest. He's been on the list since 2015. Claude Brousseau has been honored multiple times by the Aloha Section PGA, a recipient of the Professional Development Award in 2020, the Bill Strasburg Award in 2014, the Horton Smith Award in 2016, and twice as Teacher of the Year, 2008 and 2015. Let's welcome into the clubhouse, Claude Brousseau. Good to have you.
Aloha, Danielle. I must be 100 years old with all those things.
But who's counting?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so you are officially the Director of Player Development at Wailea. Tell us, what is the Director of Player Development? What does that mean?
That means that I'm helping people to play better golf. And, you know, golfer needs to see this as a development. It's not like you take one lesson and then you think you will get good. You will improve, obviously, with one, but it's more kind of looking at your journey to get better and realize your full golfing potential. So I'm helping golfer on all aspects of the game here at the academy, let's say, and then we do a many session on the golf course, because at the academy, Danielle, you learn how to swing, but on the golf course, you need to learn how to play.
Right on.
Kind of two different things.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Golf Digest instructor, V1 Sport Coach Ambassador and Talent Contributor, Sports Illustrated Talent Contributor, Sportsbox AI Certified, Flight Scope Certified Professional, Aimpoint Level 3 Certified Instructor. He can take care of so many different facets of your game. One of them, you know, is like a slip disc. It just doesn't want to work with you. Now, but, you know, what is the number one thing golfers ask you to help them with, Claude?
I want to be consistent.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, it sure makes sense to me, you know. And so how do you help people get into that groove?
But that's a very good question, Danielle. So basically, golfer has to understand that what consistency means, even for the best player in the world, I send you a couple pictures with that, with the bell curve. So that means even for the best golfer in the world, they could have a swing and the amount of strokes, 10, let's say, like Tiger and Phil, and the picture I sent you, will be playing 64, and then on the period of time, they can play 74. So for everybody, we have that curve, and we have about 50% chance to play your handicap. Now, so that's first what golfers need to understand, that consistency in the scoring, it's a swing of 10 shots, let's say. Now, how we can help people to do that. Okay, so you have to, first you need to understand that you need to consistency start with before you swing, okay? So you need to be very mindful and disciplined of how you prepare physically, mentally, and emotionally. So let's go over that. Physically mean make sure that your fundamentals before you swing, Danielle, are impeccable. And the good news about that is the golfer control 100% the way they prepare. So preparing, I mean by that, I like to use an acronym, BPGA. Okay, PGA, Professional Golfer Association, easy to remember, playing golf. So B stands for ball. So you want to make sure that the ball position in your stance when you start is at the right spot. Then how you place your body. You need to be in a good athletic posture. You need to hold the grip. You need to hold the club efficiently. And then golf is a target game, so you better to organize the club face and the golfer in relation with the target. So that will be for the physical part of it. Believe it or not, Danielle, 90%, that's a big number, of the shots for anybody who plays the game are missed before they swing. What I mean by that, sorry about that. Oh, shit. Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem.
That's my phone thing. What I mean is before you swing, if you didn't do your basics correctly, the brain is a smart machine. It will need to make an adjustment on every swing.
Okay.
Then go ahead.
No, I have one question about this position, ball position, posture, grip, and aim, the physical aspect of this game. Why is it that so many of us, as we're standing above that ball and getting prepared to swing at it and strike it and make it go far, far away to some place we want it to go, why is it that the head always has to look to where, it's like the head, your head is going faster than the rest of your body. It wants to see where the ball, and you haven't even hit it yet. How do you tame that part of you?
Okay, so that part of you, Danielle, is you need to first. No, this is a very good question, Danielle.
Thank you. First,
how you would train on that is you have to realize that after you selected your club, Danielle, let's say we're on a par three, just an example. Let's say Danielle decide to hit her 7-iron because that's the club for the distance. In your head, Danielle, distance is not anymore in the equation because you have decided, let's say your 7 goes, just a number, 130 yards. Okay. But over the ball, distance is not in the equation anymore. You have solved that part of the equation of playing golf. So that's one way you can get rid of trying to hit it hard or far.
Yeah.
You need to hit it the correct distance.
Yeah. I just wish my head wouldn't come up before I've actually hit the ball. It's like I'm looking to see where the ball went, and I haven't really followed through on the swing completely. There's an anticipatory thing going on that I'm just going to have to figure out. Danielle, keep your head down. Here's something. Mentally, the golfer has to be 100% present and committed to the shot at hand. Never let yourself be distracted by the situation, the possibility of missing the shot, or by an obsession with the results or outcome. And I think that really addresses my issue of wanting to see where I've, sent the ball before I've actually sent it anywhere. So that's very good for me. Emotionally, how does that play into this game?
Wait, repeat the question, Danielle, please.
Emotionally, how does that play?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I like that segment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Emotionally, but first you need to be confident that you will do the shot. Confident is a feeling, and then competence is a skill.
Okay.
So it's easier to be more confident if you're more skillful. So you need to practice your skill, and emotionally is just like, what I mean by that is at the ball, you don't even think that it's possible to miss the shot, okay? So that means that you do not swing with the expectation of doing a good shot, because in your mind, Danielle, emotionally, is missing the shot doesn't even exist. It's not a possibility of missing it. Then how you stay more emotionally in what you do is that you have to be more acceptance that shot will be missed when you play golf, okay? Then don't get the bad shot get you on the, spiral of going down because you miss a shot. That's part of playing golf. And then lastly, I would say emotionally is that out there, it's not a beauty contest, Danielle. It's how the ball on the golf course, as long as the ball goes from point A to point B and stop close to the point B you wanted, how the ball traveled from A to B doesn't matter that much. So don't get upset if it doesn't look beautiful like you had anticipated in your head.
Yeah. I like what you wrote here. The game is about very good misses.
But that's the reality,
yes,
Danielle.
Yes,
look at it. The women and the men at the high level, the one that wins the tournament or perform better, are not necessarily the one that make more birdies. They're the one that will not make double and will not make bogey, or maybe make two bogeys in the four rounds. Then, so it's all about the quality of your misses. You have to accept your missed shot. You just don't want to miss them too badly.
There you go. There you go. Before we get to food for thought, which I always like that you provide us some food for thought, swing hard or fast? What do you recommend?
I recommend swinging fast, okay? What I mean by that, first, you need to swing more, I would say better, meaning your goal is striking the ball in the middle of the club face, okay? Then after that, you want to swing as fast as you can. People say, oh, I swing too fast. I see nobody swing too fast. It's all about speed and it's all about distance. Now, you need to swing faster, more efficiently. And then when you want to swing hard, Danielle, it's like you tense your muscle a lot. And then you're not so coordinated when you try to use force when skills are required. And I like to use the analogy with the baseball, Danielle. When the pitcher throw a ball, have you ever heard say, oh, that was a hard ball?
Nope.
They call that a fastball.
Yes.
So in golf, so you want to swing better, obviously, mechanically, but you want to swing fast. So how can you train to swing fast? You could swing without the ball first, and then you can just, let's say, at the practice facility, you can use an aiming stick and just make sure the noise happen, let's say, on the target side of the ball. Then you need to train yourself to swing fast. Then when you're at the practice facility, Danielle, to train on speed, you have to don't worry so much about where the ball goes. You want to just recognize, and then the best way to do it is having a device that will measure your club head speed. But you just want to make sure that from swing to swing, you swing faster and faster.
Excellent. Excellent. I like this. Golfers should swing at about 85% of their maximum swing speed. How do you train to be aware of this? Swing as fast as you can. That's 100%. On the next ball, swing at half that speed. On the next one, swing somewhere in between. Find the speed that gives you the most solid contact, impact, and the best control of direction and trajectory of your golf ball. That was written by Claude Brousseau. I'm talking with him right now. He's, of course, at that wonderful academy that you're at. But before we talk about where we can find you, some of the food for thought that you provided me with, this is one of them. Don't confuse discomfort with dysfunction. Difficult phases aren't a signal to escape. They're an invitation to respond differently. Staying present, committed, and patient in this stretch is what makes progress happen. That was a quote from Dr. Brett McCabe. Did I pronounce his name right?
That's correct. That's correct. He's one of the best sports psychologists, and he helped players in golf and baseball and football, wow, college level. So he's kind of one of the best in the country about, you know, helping us to play better.
Excellent. And another one is being defeated is often a temporary condition. Giving up is what makes it permanent. That's from Marilyn. Is it Voss Savani?
Yes.
Yeah. I just caught my eye. I thought, gosh, I've got to provide that to people.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's true, Danielle. It's just you have to accept that sometimes things are not going the way you want. That just signals you that I read one this last night before going to bed. That was pretty good. So we don't perform to the level of our expectation. We perform to the level of our preparation.
Ah.
That's a good one too, you know. So you have to accept that sometimes things doesn't go your way. It just mean, okay, I need to get better.
Yes, absolutely. Just need to get better because keep on swinging. So where can we find you, Claude Brousseau?
Yeah, the best way to get in touch with me is you could go to waliagolf.com, the website, waliagolf.com. And there you can click book a lesson. That's one way to do it. You can also, my phone number is 808-856-9458. That's a good way to do it. And you can email me. So it's Claude Brousseau at waliagolf.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us and giving us some pointers on which way to go.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely.
Aloha.
Aloha, Claude. That's waileagolf.com. That's where you go. You can book a lesson there at waileagolf.com. Or you can reach Claude Brousseau at 808-856-9458. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And Larry Bosch. As author and owner let me go down this list, okay? Larry has written extensively about craft beer. It's in the Pint Post, the Celebrator Beer News, and all about beer. He was inducted into the inaugural class of the Beer Writers Hall of Fame at Portland Brewing Company. He was also has also written about golf equipment, golf course reviews for the PitchGolf.com blog. He caddied professionally at the Safeco Classic Championship on the LPGA Tour, and he lives in Seattle, Washington, with his wife, Carol, and their Cocker Spaniel, Arnie Palmer. That's spelled P-A-W-M-E-R. Larry carries a single-digit handicap at Rainier Golf and Country Club, And you may have read Uncorked, The Life and Times of Champagne, Tony Lima. Welcome into the clubhouse, Larry.
Thank you very much, Danielle. It's great to be back with you.
It's good to have you back. I'd never really looked at the name of your dog, and Arnie Palmer, Pawmer. This is adorable. You understand?
He was an adorable dog. He has passed, but we've replaced him with one, and his name is Bogey.
You know, I think you should give him the Arnie Palmer. Number two, you know, Bogey's a really tough one. So you were saying that we're on Tony Lima. Let's just start with Tony. Tell us about him.
About who?
Tony Lima.
Tony Lima.
Yes.
Yes, Tony Lima won the 1964 British Open. He died in a plane crash. It'll actually be 60 years ago on the 24th of this month. He was flying from the PGA Championship in Akron, Ohio, to a fundraiser in 1966 with his wife, and the small plane went down. Ironically, it tried to crash land on a golf course that abutted the airport, but it hit a mound and flipped into the pond and exploded.
Wow.
And he was flying on that little plane because there was an airline strike at that time. He and Betty, his wife, usually traveled first class, but there was an airline strike at the time, and he chartered this small plane. It was actually a fundraiser that was being put on by the chairman of the Chicago area, Lincoln, Buick dealerships, and Tony had a really good relationship with Buick. He'd won the Buick Open a couple of times. And so this guy wanted to send a car down to Akron for Tony. And Tony went, no, I've got it all taken care of. I'm going to rent this plane. And then through Pilot Air, the pilot, she thought it was running out of gas. And she just didn't flip the switch over to a second tank. And so that's why.
Wow.
That's why it went down. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Before he succumbed to that plane crash, how do you overcome something like that? Champagne Tony, how did he get that nickname?
Yeah. He was playing. He was really frustrated that he couldn't get his first official win. Was playing in the Orange County Open, where he was in the lead with Bob Rosberg going into the last round, and he's sitting in a small card room in the locker room, which was the press room at that tournament during football season. So most of the writers were covering football, but there were a few national golf writers with the wire services, and they had a cooler of beer in there, and he's sipping on a beer while he's recapping his round. And at the end of the interview, he says, "Well, I'll tell you what, boys, if we're in here tomorrow, we're going to celebrate with champagne, not beer." And so he won the tournament in a playoff against Rosberg and went back to the locker room. And sure enough, he treated the press to champagne. And they quickly dubbed him the Champagne Kid and Champagne Tony. Champagne Tony Lima stuck, and he really played that up. He even had his own line of clothing. And
I knew it. The
little logo on the chest was a champagne glass.
Something told me that I was thinking T-shirts. You know, if it was in today's world, it would be a T-shirt. Back in 64, he won four events, including the British Open, in a six-week period. That was probably very unusual, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was crazy. He just got on a super hot heater and was just piling up wins. A couple of them he had to win in a playoff, too, so that was pretty interesting. He played the 64 Open Championship was at St. Andrews that year.
Wow.
And he, along with a lot of the other American golfers, flew from the White Marsh tournament straight to St. Andrews. So he only had time for 18 holes of practice and made himself familiar with the course by walking around. And then, of course, Arnold Palmer was not playing that year, and he had made arrangements for Tony to use Palmer's caddy that usually caddied for him in the British Open. And He really credited the caddy, Tip Anderson, for helping him win the tournament. He said he'd point to that church steeple and say, hit it there, and Tony would just hit it there. And so Tip just kind of led him around the old course.
Wow. That's an inside.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you've written a book, Uncorked, The Life and Times of Champagne Tony Lima?
Yes, and we're now in post-production work on a documentary that's based on the book. So that we're hoping to have that done by the end of the year.
So where would we find the documentary?
Pardon me?
Where would we find the documentary?
Well, the documentary, once we get it finished, we will shop it around to some distributors and hope to get it. We'd really like it to be released as a film, but you never know. It might come out as a streaming service. But I will be sure to keep you updated on how your listeners can watch the movie.
Yeah, that would be terrific. I take us back and through. I mean, those were different, completely different times, as they all are. But what was the challenge for a golfer? Let's say, you know, we've got Scotty Scheffler, and he's out there trying to, you know, not miss a cut and having a really hard time. And then we have these wonderful people from this, you know, the 60s and 70s who were traveling around also, but in it seems like it was completely different. Have you ever juxtapositioned those two, you know, then and now?
Yes, it was quite different back then. In 1 year, Tony Lima played in, when he first went out on tour, he played in every tournament except for the Masters and the PGA Championship, which he didn't qualify for either one of those. And then he took one other week off the whole season. So back then, it was not unheard of to play 10, 15 weeks in a row. I do an article on Substack called Tour Backspin that covers the history of the tour, and I try to juxtapose a tournament that's from those 1960s, 70s, and 80s with the tournament currently being played on tour. So next week's Open Championship article is going to be on Lee Trevino winning the 1971 Open Championship, and that was the year that he won the Canadian Open, the U.S. Open, and the British Open in the span of a month.
Wow.
And in my research, I saw that he was playing 10 weeks in a row at that point, and that includes the travel to England and back. So they didn't have the kind of schedules that today's PGA pros have.
Yes. Now, did they also need to do it for the money they needed to make to continue on?
Yeah. Well, especially the guys that were journeymen or grinders, they needed to play well to avoid Monday qualifying and get into the next tournament where they needed to cash a check just to cover their travel expenses, because purses were not anywhere near what they are today, even if you adjust for inflation. So.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 20 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And they just had to. A lot of friendships were probably built on traveling together.
Yeah, that's always been an interesting one for me. For the movie, we interviewed most of the living players that played with Tony Lima. So we talked to Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player, and then a bunch of the stars a little bit further down the rungs from the superstars, like Al Geiberger and Bruce Devlin and Butch Baird. And Butch Baird traveled with Tony a lot. Tony had a group of four guys that he traveled around with when he first went out on tour. And they would tell me stories about staying in motels and the hijinks that they would do after the rounds. And then later on, when they were not bachelors anymore, then the wives traveled along with them. And Bruce Devlin loves to tell the story about how the group, the tour players made up kind of an entourage of traveling pros, and they would go into a hotel, they'd pass the hat, throw some cash into the hat, give it to one of the wives, who would go off and get steaks and the fixins, and bring it back, and the men would barbecue around the pool at the motel. And there was always one wife would take babysitting duties if there happened to be kids along on the trip. So it was really a lot more camaraderie and a lot tighter knit. And that extended to the press back then, too. They had the sports writers of that era were much different than the sports writers of our era. They were a little closer to the players. They weren't looking for gotcha moments. If they did see indiscretions, they kind of kept it to themselves or looked the other way. But it was all one big community just traveling around the country between the players and the sports writers.
Wow. Yeah, fascinating. Now, Larry, I want to get your last name correct. It's Bosch?
Yes, Bosch.
Yeah, Larry Bosch, editor, publisher, Tour Backspin, a newsletter from yesteryear. Tour Backspin is available on Substack and at tourbackspin.com. Makes it really easy. tourbackspin.com. You've also written, I think, golf equipment. You've written about golf equipment and golf course reviews for PutzGolf.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, PutzGolf is a local retailer here, legendary. I think they're celebrating their 81st anniversary this month. And so I ran the webpage for them and did golf course reviews and equipment reviews. I continue to do golf course reviews with my Tour Backspin newsletter. It's something that I do for the Tour Backspin Golf Club, which is my paid subscribers on Substack.
Right on.
And then people can also find the Uncorked, The Life and Times of Champagne Tony Lima on Amazon.
Excellent. Larry, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. I look forward to our next conversation.
Me too, Danielle. Thank you very much.
Thank
I enjoyed
you.
It. And I loved hearing you talk with
Mark. Mark, yes.
I had the pleasure of meeting him in Augusta at the Masters this year. He's one of the finest gentlemen in the game.
Yes, sir. Indeed. And Augusta is one of the nicest places to be to meet somebody. I love my journey
well,
to Augusta.
You.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back. And Colin Weston is in the clubhouse after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Well, has it stopped raining? You know, sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. And it's supposed to be like 40% rain tonight, 50% rain in some areas. So, you know, to help you through all of this rain, Aloha Power's After the Rain Sale, because it's kind of letting go of us, features Honda generators, pumps, chainsaws, weed whackers, trimmers, up to 25% off. And we've got service and parts and accessories for every rider. So from home to commercial sized, you mow it, you blow it, you bag it, and you're done. Get what you need. It's all at Aloha Power Equipment, EV Lay, right next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
Who do you call when your home appliance isn't working? Pacific Repair Services. Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does repairs, maintenance, and sales. Call us at 808-736-4080 or find us on the web at prscares.com. We fix, maintain, and sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, and dishwashers at fabulous prices. Rely on Pacific Repair Services, because your home appliances have to work. What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Colin Weston, the Mod Golf Weekly Roundup. With the latest in golf technology, innovation, sustainability, entertainment, and wellness news. Welcome into the clubhouse, Colin.
Danielle, nice to talk to you again, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine. Fine, thank you. Very well, very well. You're doing so much now. Golf technology, innovation, sustainability, entertainment, wellness. Let's start with golf technology. On the Mod Golf Weekly Roundup, what have you discovered recently?
Well, one thing to start with is the kind of the diversity that golf has that's been growing the last couple of years. A great example is myself over the last couple of days. Yesterday, I played a pitch and putt par three course with a friend and her two teenage children who have never played golf before. So we had that experience. And this morning before I jumped on the show, I just walked four blocks from my house here in Vancouver, where I am a member at an indoor two-bay virtual golf club, and I just ground away on my game trying to get my mediocre 15 handicap down, and that was for me. So I had that experience, and then tomorrow I'm playing as part of my weekend men's club. We've got a league event tomorrow, so I'm playing a traditional 72, par 72, 18-hole experience there. So three different golf experiences, three different days,
wow.
And that's one of the things I love. Sometimes it's technology, sometimes it's just a matter of community and tradition. So
yeah,
all of those great things.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Colin Weston, I just launched a video series called Mod Golf Moments. Colin's new video series is Mod Golf Moments. Tell us about the video series and where we can find it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So with Mod Golf Moments, this is something I've been thinking about for a while. So it's both on our Mod Golf YouTube channel. So I know we've got all of your listeners here today, but if they also like to watch, I strongly encourage them to go over to Mod Golf Podcast on YouTube or also on our Instagram at Mod Golf Podcast, where I've put these like short videos together, and it's something that's new, what's happening in golf, and whether it's innovation or entrepreneurship happening, let's say, in a tour, both of the men's and the women's, or even something that's quirky, which is a nice little segue, because I have a little a segment here I want to throw at you here, Danielle, and I'm calling this Let's Test Danielle's Golf Knowledge today. Are you up for this? And this ties into some Mod Golf Moments where I've done some, you know, quirky facts about the traditions of golf, and I want to ask you three of them to see if you can nail them. Are you game? Are you in?
Of course I'm game, but I'll probably fail. Nevertheless, let's charge on, sir.
Okay, so the first one. Why are there 18 holes on a golf course?
Oh, 18.
How did that come to be?
It happened because it happened. 9 and 9 is 18. There.
Your math is correct, but your history is a little bit off there. So it turns out that the story is in 1764 at St. Andrews at the old course. Traditionally, it was a 10-hole route. And what they did was they played it was a 10-hole route. So what they did is they played 10 holes out and then 10 holes back in.
Oh.
And then they realized there were 20 holes. So that's what they ended up doing. And then they realized that there were some holes that were way too short. So what they decided to do is they then combined into 8 holes, or 10 holes, sorry. So there were 8 holes that they played going out and 8 holes coming back. back, and that made 16. And then the extra two was 18. So that's how that came about. So there is a little bit of tradition in there, not just your math at 9 plus 9 equals 18. So you're 0 for 1 here. You're
yes.
0 for 1.
Oh, I'll be 0 for 3. Don't worry about that. But I just want to mention that, you know, did they look into the rules of golf before they started doing all these changes? Huh?
Oh, you got me there. So, okay. So I got that. So you're 0 for 1 here.
Okay.
So I'm going to tee the second one up for you.
Tee it up. Okay.
And I released this one during Masters Week. So why is the sand at Augusta National so blindingly white?
Because they're so clean. I mean, you know, anything other than blindingly white wouldn't go over well at Augusta National.
Well, that is very true, but there's a little more to the story than that. It's not actually technically sand. It is granulated quartz. And this is what Augusta has done over the years. It is so proprietary that they've actually purchased a quartz mine north of them in South Carolina, where the quartz that's mined from that and ground up is for their bunkers and their bunkers only. So there you go. It's not even sand. It's actually granulated quartz. So there's a little Masters fun fact for you.
Yes, and I wonder what the price of that is. I mean, how many golf courses could afford to go to that quartz mine?
Well, I don't think anybody can because Augusta National actually owns it. And I think they keep it all for themselves. And they don't really care about how much stuff costs. I think they've got their business model figured out pretty well there. So cost doesn't matter. Okay, so you're 0 for 2. Here, the last one. Let's see if you can get this one. Why is a golf hole 4 1/4 inches in diameter? Not 4, not 5. Why is it this weird number?
You tell us.
And these are the type of fun things I cover on Mod Golf Moments, by the way. So the answer to this one, Danielle, is that back in Scotland again, so this was back in a couple hundred years ago, uh-huh. 250 years ago, originally they used to make all the holes, used to dig them out just with a shovel or by hand, and quite often what they take for the hole, they you put on a tee box, and that's how you would have a tee. Then you'd build up a mound of dirt from that. So what you'd actually dig out from the holes would be for the tee box. And at that time, members and golfers were disgruntled because there was no consistency. The holes were different sizes and different shapes. So it turns out that a very entrepreneurial or industrious maintenance worker or groundskeeper at a course in Scotland, of course, just the name of it escapes me at the moment, but just outside of Edinburgh, he went to the back maintenance shed and he pulled out a piece of drain pipe and he used it like an auger in the ground and dug a hole and used that for the holes. And it turns out, coincidentally, that the size of that drain pipe was 4 1/4 inches in diameter. And to this day, that is why every golf hole is that size.
Thank you. So enlightening. And Colin Weston has the Mod Golf Weekly Roundup. Of course, he is also highlighting his last three episodes in a moment. Putting me on the spot with three quirky questions about the history of golf was wonderful, although pop quizzes terrify me. So I want to thank you for taking me through that, frightening, scary moment. So now tell us about your next three episodes on the Mod Golf. And by the way, where did you get Mod Golf? I feel like I'm back in the UK in the 60s wearing Mod, the Mod.
Well, there is a tie to that. I know that you spent, when you were on the Mod Golf podcast a couple of years ago, and you told your backstory, not only with your golf radio show, but also as far as your life. You had mentioned that you had lived in your early 20s there for a couple of years in the UK. So yes, the Mod piece there, I have an English background also. So yeah, that Mod movement thing, I love that. But really Mod, M-O-D for modern, right? I kind of like that tie in there in the Mod Golf podcast.
Yes.
The name just kind of stuck out when I started. So Mod for modern is the main piece there.
Yeah, and Mod Golf podcast has been ranked number 4 on the most comprehensive list of top 25 golf podcasts. Based on the quality and consistency of the posts, industry expert reviews, and social media influence and popularity. So you can subscribe to the Mod Golf podcast and help them grow and move up in the rankings going into 2026. Isn't it 2027 soon? Goodness gracious, how time flies when you're having fun.
Time flies.
So tell us just a little bit about those three top ones that you like so much.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for that. So, yes, with the Mod Golf podcast, which I've been doing for 9 years now, I know that pales in comparison to the 25-plus years that you've been at it here. So you're leading the way, and I'm just trying to keep up here. But, yes, over 300 episodes in 9 years where, yes, I do focus on the entrepreneurs and the innovators and the influencers that are shaping the future of golf. And sometimes there's some technology involved, but that's the lane I stay in. And as an independent podcast creator, that's what I do. So yes, I'm just finishing up our season 19. We do 12 episodes per season. So the last three, if I can quickly kind of go through those. So yeah, really excited about these ones that we just released with people, if they listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or even going to www.mod.golf, they can listen to me. So the first one is about golf fitness. Like you and I, Danielle, we love to play, but you and I aren't getting any younger. I'm 61 years old, and I try to, you know, working hard to keep my fitness up. But the beautiful thing about golf, of course, is that we can play, unlike other sports, we can keep going until we're no longer here, right? But yeah, how do you make sure that you move better and hurt less? Is what we talked this episode. And that was, we're talking golf fitness, longevity, and performance with the founders of an app and a platform called Golf Doctor. So Golf DR, one word. And it is a mother and son co-founding duo of Dr. Valerie DeMaio, and who's a surgeon and physician, and her golf physiotherapist son, Dr. Chris Adamson. So I had a great conversation with them and the platform that they're creating here. So remotely, you can, if you're like all of us, we get back pain, whatever it is between fitness, injuries, and we need to get out or back into golf. And sadly, the numbers are over 40% of people, if they have an injury golfing, they don't come back. So that's what they do. So Golf Doctor was a great one, that entrepreneurial story with them as a startup in that golf fitness and longevity and physiotherapy space. And the second one is, I'll ask you, I know you play a lot of golf on the island there. Are you involved in a golf league or any type of a weekly group?
No, I'm not.
You're not. But these are growing and been proliferating over the years. And private courses, mostly private courses, but also public courses that have leagues, they're finding now their leagues have been run by other people. So now they're bringing them in-house because they realize the value that it can add. So this was a startup called Smart Golf, and a gentleman named Rob Sundstrom. I interviewed him live when I was in person. I was in Toronto for a couple of weeks where I grew up. And so they've launched a Smart Golf about a couple of years ago. So they focus on creating golf leagues that are fun, engaging, and interactive. And it turns out that if you're in a league rather than just playing with some friends every once in a while, there's much more stickiness there. You'll play for the whole 17 weeks of that golf league. So for the golf club, there's much more revenue because it's all vertically integrated with their food and their beverage and their apparel and all the other stuff that to bring people in. So Smart Golf is very interesting as they're lockstep with the growth of leagues that are just expanding across the golf landscape.
It's fabulous. So fun to catch up with you. Colin Weston, the Mod Golf Weekly Roundup, the latest in golf technology, innovation, sustainability, entertainment, and wellness news. And you've also got the video series, Mod Golf Moments. And thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse and stay in touch. Let me know when I should have you back on.
It was my pleasure, my friend. Always nice to talk to you, Danielle. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Aloha. Coming back, Michael Patrick Shields after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? What
is up? I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
I'm 9 now, but when I was 8, I'd do things I wasn't supposed to.
You don't talk when people are putting.
Always repair the ball mark.
You keep your own score, so you have to know how to act.
And you gotta tell the truth.
Put a golf club in kids' hands and watch them grow.
If you do certain things that you're not supposed to, you get a shot added to your score. You don't want to do those things.
The First Tee teaches kids values that will impact their communities and the rest of their lives.
If it wasn't for golf, I'd be like my friends, a couch potato.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Oh, Michael Patrick Shields is in the clubhouse. But before I go there, I need to just mention that the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association will conduct the 808 Classic at Eva Village's golf course on Oahu. That's coming up this Monday, Tuesday. I think it's June 13th and 14th. It's a 36-hole stroke play event contested over 2 days with a field of about 60 junior golfers. For instance, boys 7 through 10. Then we've got the boys 13 to 14 all the way up. And then in the girls, it's 11 through 12. Girls 15 to 18 as well, just like the boys 15 through 18. All of this is happening, of course, over at the Eva Villages Golf Course on Oahu. And remember, HSJGA, 501c3 nonprofit, opportunities for kids that teach responsibility, development, qualities of leadership, and integrity, and assist juniors in becoming productive members of the adult community. Also, rules, etiquette, instructional clinics on the game of golf. Golf at a minimal cost to juniors, an environment to promote and encourage good sportsmanship and friendship among junior golfers, opportunities to travel and participate in state and national tournaments, and college workshops to assist all juniors with their preparation for higher education. That's what Hawaii State Junior Golf Association is all about. Get in touch with them for your kids. And now, Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha. Nice to talk to you again.
Ah, it's wonderful. Michael Patrick Shields is an award-winning syndicated radio and television talk show host, best-selling author, travel writer, actor, background actor. What's the difference between being an actor and being a background actor, Michael Patrick?
Well, if you watch a movie or a TV show and you never thought about it before, if you look at all the other people that are behind the main actors in the scene, they're all acting too. And one of the things that might surprise you is if it's a restaurant scene, let's say, for instance, we're at a restaurant in Hawaii or something like that, or out at the pool, and you see people in the background talking to each other and drinking and what have you, and they're pantomiming. In other words, they're not really speaking out loud because all that noise would distract from the audio of the main stars.
Yes.
So when we're in a background role, we are talking, but those people are not actually speaking. And so it's a little bit of an art to try to do it and do it effectively and not overdo it, because then it would look silly. It feels silly to do, you know, like try it sometime just for the fun of it with Rick or whoever.
Yeah.
But it's an essential part of a film or a movie. And so, you know, just for the fun of it, watch the background actors next time you're looking at something.
So that's all moving the lips and not allowing the vocal cords to get involved.
No sound.
Yes, right. Michael Patrick Shields. Yes, he has hosted.
Hey, that might be a good idea for a marriage now that I do. You know, like, when you're at dinner with your spouse.
Yes.
Breakfast, first thing in the morning when you're like, all right, just, or you get home from work and just talk without making any sound.
You know, that's a really good idea for the family get together.
Yeah. Oh, especially with the in-laws.
Right. See, nobody gets in trouble. The lips are moving, but there's no sound coming out.
Wow.
All right, you've been on Dr. Phil. What was it like being on Dr. Phil?
Well, I was on Dr. Phil, funny, since we're talking about marital advice.
Yeah.
I was on a show where they had newlyweds who were having trouble within the first 6 months. And there were three other couples, and then there was me by myself, because my marriage didn't last a single day, one of them. So I was the joker in the deck, you know, like they had all these three couples with their serious problems, and then Dr. Phil looks at the camera and says, now you think these couples have problems in 6 months? We're going to meet Michael Patrick, who didn't last a day. And then I was brought out as the kind of joker in the deck, I guess.
In a wheelbarrow.
It was at Paramount Studios, and they flew me in, and there was a pre-interview and all of that.
Yeah.
And then you have your own little dressing room, just a little room. And I kept saying, you know, can you give me about 30 minutes warning before we're going to go on to the stage? Because you have to go to hair and makeup and all that sort of thing. Now, this was a long time ago, but I had in my bathroom kit that I brought two mini bottles of Absolut vodka. Because I needed to have a spooker before I was going to go on stage to tell the story of Dr. Phil. So the lady says, we're about 20 minutes out now. I said, can I get a cup of ice? She said, you want water? I said, no, just ice. And I didn't tell her why, of course.
Of course.
I took those two bottles. And I said to her, you know, how does the doc want me to? Is this going to be funny, or am I supposed to be sad, or what is this supposed to be? And she said, well, he doesn't really know till you get out there. I said, okay. So out I went, and there I was on Dr. Phil.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But just think about this, Danielle. I was a single man.
Yes.
In a room full of largely, what kind of people do you think would go to see Dr. Phil?
Married.
Women.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a single guy in a room full of women. They all feel sorry for me. How could that terrible woman do that to him?
Oh, poor boy. Poor baby. Oh, we're gonna come, I'll stroke your head for you. Okay. So let's go to Tom Doak and the Renaissance Club. When you said to me, we could talk about Tom Doak and the Renaissance Club. Have you been there?
Yeah, it's right next to North Berwick, which isn't too far from Edinburgh, Scotland, or an also drivable distance quickly in a day from St. Andrews. North Berwick's one of my favorite in the world. And Renaissance Club is private, but it's designed by Tom Doak from Traverse City, Michigan, who is the foremost living architect, I think, in the world right now for golf. And so it's fun for him, and you know he's done Pacific Dunes, which a lot of people talk about as
loved it. Yes,
in the world, and also Cape Kidnappers in New Zealand. I'm lucky to have made a pilgrimage to go. And if you ever get to the middle of Michigan, there's a place called Forest Dunes, And Tom Doak says this might be his greatest achievement of all. Even though it's not on the ocean, nothing dramatic like that, he built a Lynx course at Forest Dunes, which you can play frontwards and backwards. So one day you play it one way, the next day you play it backwards.
Wow.
And it sounds crazy, but it's Lynx. And so when you get, let's say you go down the first fairway and you see the green and you turn around and you say, oh, wow, it's a hole going the other way, too. It's kind of hard to imagine till you see it, but believe me, this is an homage to the way the old course, actually, at St. Andrews used to be played, frontwards
and backwards.
So he wanted to do that, yeah.
Yeah, so that it's called Forest Dunes?
Forest Dunes, and he calls his course the Loop.
The Loop.
Technically two courses.
Wow. That, yeah, and it is a loop, right? I mean, yeah, and that's in what part of Michigan?
Right in the middle in Roscommon, the middle of the mitten.
Wow, Roscommon?
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning how to say...
There's nothing around it, mind you. There's a little resort there, you know, that you can stay and play. But if you want to play your brains out, there's a Weisskopf course there, too. If all you care about is golf, and there's a little, also a little par three course, that's all you care about, you'll be happy there.
It sounds good. I mean, it sounds like a real getaway. You're you know, then not a bunch of crowded. It's not crowded, right?
No. Yeah, and Doak is controversial because his career started. He wrote a book called Confidential Guide to Golf Courses, which went viral before there was such a thing as going viral. It was back in the book.
That sounds funny. It went viral before it was viral.
Yeah.
Hey,
don't forget the celebrities at Lake Tahoe this weekend. They're fun to watch on TV, too.
Yeah, well, but before we go there, are you going to go running with the bulls?
I did, and it'll be the 10th year anniversary next year, and I'm writing a book about it right now, in fact.
Oh, where did you run with the bulls?
2017, the year I turned 50, and I survived. Three Americans were gored that day.
Oh, God.
I was not one of them. One of them was gored in the testicles.
Oh, God. You didn't have to be quite that. Okay. Where did you run with the bulls?
Oh, it's in Pamplona, Spain, on the 7th day of the 7th month. We have it every year in the San Fermin Festival. And so I just decided, I had been talking about it for years. I wanted to do it. It was a dream come true. And it's scary, and it's exciting, and it's a lot of drinking, and a lot of fun. And, it was just an exciting old world thing. And, it was Ernest Hemingway wrote about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really exciting.
Yeah.
Scary.
God, scary. And those three guys that, you know, took the horns. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I thought I heard the goodbye music there going. I thought we were wrapping up.
That's we've got 2 minutes to go, but I had to ask you about the, you know, Pamplona, yeah. Spain, and you running with the bulls. That's just like incredible.
This week, yeah, it's wrapping up this weekend, that festival.
Yeah, sure. And you're not there. You're not going to go run with the bulls, right? Promise.
I don't think I need to do that again. No. It's too perfect. It was too perfect. And doing it again would be, you know, overkill.
Would just be overkill. Michael Patrick Shields, you always make me happy.
I do what I can.
I get the giggles every time. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse, taking us to Forest Dunes, the Loop, and Cape Kidnappers, and Pamplona, Spain, all in, 12 minutes or less. That's
really nice of you to bring up Dr. Phil, by the way. Thanks a lot.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.
Aloha, and thank you. All right. We want to welcome the Newtown Driving Range because you can warm up before your round, wind down after work, you know, just go hit some balls if you've had a bad day. You know, just focus on the small stuff, that little white ball, your grip, and away you go. It's the Newtown Range operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. It's good golf, good food, and good fun. Aloha Power, work smarter, faster, and easier. Our Honda generators, water pumps, chainsaws, riding and walking mowers, whackers, and a whole lot more. And there's a discount. Get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, open Monday through Saturday, Evie Lay, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. and the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It is the gift that lasts forever for self, health, friendship, and family. Go golf. And Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea Maui. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.